Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. Lisa Carter-Bawa from Hackensack Meridian Health spoke about reducing stigmatization surrounding lung cancer to help increase screening access among at-risk individuals. She discussed the use of a digital tool named LungTalk to help reform medical communication surrounding lung cancer awareness and combat stigmas patients may face, including those associated with smoking. Additionally, she detailed community-based efforts that aim to increase lung cancer screening availability to Black screening-eligible populations.
One of your interests relates to understanding how stigma may affect an at-risk individual's decision to screen for lung cancer. What are some of the prominent factors that may contribute to this feeling of being stigmatized?
Sure. And thank you for asking that question. It's a topic that I'm really passionate about. I think the most prominent factor boils down to blame and shame around smoking. Whether it is an underlying tone or messaging toward an individual, or very frankly, a blatant use of language to blame someone in the context of lung cancer. And I, giving you an example, you know, a person's diagnosed with lung cancer and shares a diagnosis with a friend, and the immediate response from the friend is saying something like, "I didn't know you smoked." And somehow that act of smoking equates to deserving a deadly disease like lung cancer. But really, think about this more practically. When a person who has a heart attack says to their friend, you know, they had a heart attack, that friend doesn't look at them and say, "Oh, I didn't know you weren't vegan and you don't run 5 days a week." Of course, that's an absurd example, but the point is that really that hearing that someone has lung cancer somehow automatically spurs the response that equates to blaming them for having the disease. And so I think this kind of public discourse around lung cancer has seeped into not just individuals diagnosed with lung cancer, but backing it up to lung cancer screening, the same shame and blame feelings. And so that I think that's really the prominent factors that contribute to feeling stigmatized.
I would have to agree. Like, it just seems like a lot of it just lies in sort of, as you suggested, the language that's often used to describe this population. Like, just looking at some of the studies that I've written pieces about, sometimes they would list the demographic features of certain patient populations. Like, oftentimes, more than not, like you see groups listed as like smoker or non-smoker. And yeah, it seems like strange to see that kind of language so prevalent in these types of studies. And it sort of just relates to like what you were talking about.
Yeah. And that's actually, it's funny that you brought that up, because in my role, I serve as the chair for the American Cancer Society's National Lung Cancer Roundtable's Stigma and Nihilism Task Group. And one of our goals over the past several years has really been to focus on changing this public discourse around lung cancer and the language. And so some key individuals have led work in collaboration with the International Association for the Study of Lung Cancer, or ISLAC, to create a language guide. And it's that very thing you're talking about, is labeling people smoker or non-smoker or never smoker, and other stigmatizing or potentially stigmatizing language and imagery, that we really should be conscientious about that when we're writing as scientists, or we're writing for the lay public, or we have messaging that's public facing about where we're trying to get people to realize they might be at risk and they might want to be screened. We don't want to make people feel bad about trying to do a preventive health screening like lung cancer screening by labeling them as smoker.
And yeah, with this background in mind, you've published a report, a brief report case study using the lung cancer stigma communications assessment tool of LungTalk, which kind of explores how these stigmas can be managed. Can you go into a little bit more detail about how the support tool LungTalk works?
Yeah, so LungTalk is actually it's a health communication and decision support tool, and it's meant to be patient-facing, or I actually like to think of it Even prior to becoming a patient, we actually currently have a national study where we're intervening using social media platform to identify people who are eligible for lung screening and increase awareness with this tool. And so people who might not be engaged with the health system. And so it, you know, when a person screens for lung cancer, that's a low-dose computed tomography or CT scan of their chest, which I'm sure your audience knows, of course. You know, it's going to give you very detailed images. It can very well find other things that are not just lung cancer. If a person has smoked for a long time, they have a higher risk for other things like chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or you might find a nodule, different things. So this tool actually educates broadly, but it's a tailored tool. Some of our early research in this space found that some of the important things to tailor on is smoking status. People who have quit smoking don't like to be the messaging. If it's geared toward them like they still smoke, it further stigmatizes them. So a very simple thing of tailoring, like choosing whether you currently smoke or you used to smoke, it's the same content, but the messaging, the way the messaging is framed and the wording, the imagery is all tailored to that course of action. And then the other thing that it go that this particular tool does is it tailors on a person's perceived barriers. So we chose about five or six of the top barriers from our prior research, and used we co-designed this with people who are eligible for lung screening. The what is important for you to talk about? What is important for you to learn? How do you want to learn it? And so it's an interactive digital tool that has video animation that helps them work through understanding more about their lung health and lung cancer screening. It also encourages having a shared discussion with an informed clinician about lung screening. And it ends with people can choose particular prompts that will print out a tailored printout. So they've gone through Lung Talk. They know all about the risk, or they know how it's done, but they still want to talk to their doctor about what is overdiagnosis, what is a false positive. So they can have this tailored question prompt to help encourage to have this discussion with their clinician about lung screening.
Sounds pretty interesting, like being able to custom fit each experience for each like individual patient like that.
Yes. And we were very conscientious about using very diverse scenarios. We have some patient-provider conversation examples that are included. And it's only about a 10 to 12 minute tool that someone can use. It depend the length is dependent upon how they answer the different questions.
And what do findings from your report suggest about how Lung Talk can help destigmatize lung cancer screenings? What does the current efficacy of this tool look like?
So this tool is focused on really increasing knowledge and awareness around lung screening. And so the efficacy around the actual tool itself is related to, you know, it more than doubles knowledge levels in people who are eligible for lung screening going through it versus those who use a non-tailored tool when we did some pilot testing with it and some head-to-head testing with it. The actual from a destigmatization perspective, the brief report that you referenced on the Lung Cancer Stigma Communications Assessment Tool, that was actually created by a colleague, Dr. Jamie Stutz, and his team, in which we actually used that tool when we were revising Lung Talk for this time last year. And that tool actually helped us to walk through and objectively look at the messaging, the wording, the imagery for potential stigmatizing language and stigmatizing imagery. We were able to identify some places where we had some a use of smoker because this tool was created like 8 years ago when it was the beta version of it. And so we were also able to find some imagery that might not have been as acceptable, and we were able to make those changes before we rolled it out.
What are some of the factors that may contribute to the low rates of lung cancer among screen-eligible African American populations? And what is sort of being done to address those disparities?
Sure. So one of the things, lung cancer screening in and of itself is really, really super low. Nationally, depending on where you are in the United States, the average lung cancer screening rate ranges anywhere from 5.8 to 18% of the screening eligible population, which, mind you, is 14 million people in the United States. But when you compare it and you look at African American individuals versus Caucasian individuals, it's even much lower. It's African Americans who are screening eligible, 1.7% have been screened. And the biggest thing is lack of knowledge. People just don't know that there is a screening test that exists. And so, one of the things I think when you're thinking about strategies to address lung cancer screening inequities is bringing everybody equitably to the table, the knowledge table, even just knowing about it, kind of normalizing it in the community. One of a stream of work that we've been working on is based in the African American faith-based community, where we go in and provide culturally tailored programming that we built with the African American community. We have a community advisory council that we worked on. It's called Witness Project Lung, where we actually go into churches and other faith-based organizations, as well as minority-serving community organizations, to provide this programming that educates the community in general, and not just lung screening eligible individuals. I think it's really important to think about how we can educate more broadly. We do know broadly about breast cancer screening and mammography, and that's not just because it's the person who's eligible for that. It's because of it's just a it's common knowledge. We want to make that the same in the African American and larger community, to make lung cancer screening very general public knowledge.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty big theme. Just being able to get the word out there and helping people like access more information, how they could get screened for this disease.
I was just going to say, and doing it through trusted messengers. We've been very very thoughtful about involving the leadership, clergy, community leaders, informal leaders within our communities. It's not necessarily it's not a one and done. You have to come and show up in the community and embed yourself in the community. And one of my roles at Hackensack is I am the director of cancer community outreach and engagement, and our team builds these relationships and goes out into the community to find out what's important to our patient populations. But also, we go and we're there. We don't just go and take. We go and give, and also just embed ourselves in the community so that we can develop that trusting rapport with different communities.
Sounds like a very ongoing effort, reaching out to the community and developing tools such as LungTalk. But as far as the future goes, where else would research efforts need to go from here to help increase access to lung cancer screening?
I think it's really important that we think about like policy implications around lung screening, and who has equitable access, who's able to access care. But even thinking more deeply about that, I think it's really important that we recognize that social determinants of health are so important in some of our most vulnerable patient populations. If you don't have food or water, or you don't have a place to live, or you're having transportation issues, you don't care about cancer screening. You're not going to have a conversation or act upon cancer screening. We have to realize that when we are addressing cancer prevention and control, we need to do it with through a lens of health equity and through a lens of social determinants of health. And we need to assess, and not only just assess to get the information, but then we also need to connect people to resources so that we can take care of those health-related social needs. And then we can have those discussions about cancer prevention and control and other preventive efforts for our health.
Oh, great. Thank you. And finally, what do you sort of hope that your colleagues take away from this conversation?
I think I would love for my colleagues to take away envisioning a world where stigma in lung cancer doesn't exist, That it's just a historical, blip that we look back on, and that we are treating people equitably across the board, and we're no longer we're using person first language and not referring to people as smoker and non-smoker in our scientific communication or our medical communication or lay communications. So I think that's the biggest thing I would like colleagues to take away from this.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.